This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Last week, our local CVS pharmacy here in Washington, D.C. cited us a price on 100 tablets of generic Prozac, $135.99. At an Eckerd's drugstore, it was a bit higher, $140.19. At Rite Aid, though, 100 tablets of generic Prozac cost a lot less, $46.99. It was even lower at Costco, $28.69, and lower still at Sam's Club, $57.54. That's a difference of $112.65. We checked this out after we saw a story out of a Houston news station, KHOU, which found similar variances there. The results beg the question, why? Later in the program, living on Mars time in Pasadena and in Utah, a sculpture emerges from the Great Salt Lake. But first, why are there such huge differences in the prices of prescription drugs? We're focusing today not on drug manufacturers, but on distributors and retailers. If you have questions about why drugs can be four times more expensive depending on where you shop, give us a phone call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And joining us now is Stephen Schondelmeyer. He's professor of pharmaceutical economics at the University of Minnesota, and he joins us from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul. And good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Glad to be here.
So anybody hearing the difference in those prices is bound to say, huh?
Well, I think they will be surprised that there might be a difference. I do think consumers need to be aware of the prices in their market. And with a caveat, I would say that they should shop around. But first, they should shop for a pharmacy or a pharmacist that provides the level of service that they want and make sure that they have a pharmacist that explains to them how to use their medicines and what the problems are with it. Once they find that pharmacist, it's still useful to be aware of prices at other pharmacies in town. Most pharmacies will meet the price of their competitors if you tell them, I found it at a lower price. So it's best to stay with one pharmacist once you choose a pharmacy. But use the information you gain like this from shopping around to see if they can help you get a better deal.
Well, given that price that we got at Costco, is it worth it to go to Canada?
Well, this is a generic medication. This is not a brand name medication that doesn't have generics in the market. Most of the big differences in prices that people go to Canada for are brand name products that don't have generics in the U.S. market.
Mm-hmm.
So the other concern here is there's differences across pharmacies in terms of level of service. Costco, I don't think, is open 24 hours. The Walgreens would be if you need to get your medications after hours or unusual times during the day. Also, many drug stores are close in your neighborhood around the corner. Often to go to a discount store like Sam's Club or Costco, you may have to drive across town or a 45-minute drive in some areas to get there.
At a difference of like $100 for 100 tablets, it might be worth it, though.
Well, it could, but again, ask your pharmacist locally and say, found out that the price is lower at Sam's Club or Costco, but I value the service that I've had here. Mm-hmm. Can you give me a better price?
Now, why would it vary so much? I mean, if the one retailer knew that you could get it for so much less across town, why would they have such a big discrepancy in the first place?
Well, there are many reasons it could differ. Depends on the neighborhoods and areas you're in. Also realize that the two lowest prices were at a Sam's Club and a Costco.
Mm-hmm.
These are operations where most of the revenue in the store comes from things other than the pharmacy. In fact, the pharmacy may be only 1 to 4 or 5% of their total revenue. And so if they get you into the store for prescriptions, which they price basically as loss leaders, they are hoping to sell you other stuff while you're in the store. But at a typical chain pharmacy, the revenue from the prescription department may account for anywhere from 40 to 60% of the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And in a typical independent, a local corner drugstore that's privately owned, the prescription medicine may account for 90, 95% of the total revenue. So you can't very well use prescriptions as a loss leader when 90% of your business is in prescriptions. So in a sense, Sam's Club, Costco, some of these large deep discount stores use it as a loss leader to get people in, just like at the grocery store when you can buy, you know, Coke on sale for a given weekend, you get a better price.
Sure. Now, let's get something clear here. This discrepancy in prices really only matters for people who do not have insurance. Isn't that right?
Largely, that's who it applies to, because when they do have insurance, the insurance company has set the rate that they pay the pharmacy, and they're probably paying Sam's Club and Costco and Walgreens and CVS and Rite Aid and all the others the same amount.
Mm-hmm. Exactly who are we talking about who might be able to benefit, if that's what they wanted to do, from the discrepancy in prices and the loss leaders at places like Costco?
Well, at this point, the people paying cash still include many elderly, because the benefit, even though a law has been passed now, that benefit really won't be implemented till 2006. So It includes those individuals. But also, when those who are uninsured or don't have prescription insurance are young people who are working minimum wage jobs, maybe two jobs to pay the bills and don't have any insurance because of that. This may include widows of a spouse who didn't have a retiree benefit program. This could include undocumented aliens or, resident individuals who don't have jobs that provide health care benefits. So it could be a wide spectrum of people of all ages that don't have insurance. Now, also, this could affect a person who's insured if their insurance requires a co-insurance rather than a co-pay. Co-pay means you pay $10 each time you get a prescription. But some insurance plans now use a percentage and require you to pay 10% or 20% of the prescription cost. And if you're paying a percent of the prescription cost, then the price of the prescription does make a difference to you.
Well, we have an email question exactly on that point from Nan Sansone in Noblesville, Indiana. Will you see differences in prices if you're only paying a copay? Is it worth my while to drive the 12 miles to Costco rather than to go to the local pharmacy when I only pay a copay? Will it help my husband's employer by costing them less?
It probably will not, because the price under the third-party contract is usually determined by the insurance company and not by the local chain pharmacy, whether it's Costco or someone else. So it probably doesn't make that much difference if you only have a copay.
So then counting the people who are on Medicare now and the, 41, 42, 43 million people, depending on how you count, who are uninsured, you're still talking about many tens of millions of people.
This could affect a large number of people, yes.
Mm-hmm. So who negotiates the prices for drugs when they get down to the retail level?
Well, I think consumers do by their shopping behavior and by where they choose to go. And again, I encourage them to be wise shoppers, but once you pick a pharmacy, stay with the same pharmacy so you aren't getting drugs from four or five different places, because if you're getting multiple medications, there is a chance that you may actually cause harm by having medications that don't work well together.
Mm-hmm,
often why you see these discrepancies, again, this is a product where there's a brand name and a generic available.
Mm-hmm.
What product was it you shopped again?
Prozac.
Prozac. And it's a product that, has been out there in the generic market for a while, but not a long time. Often early, when a product first goes generic, there's only one generic company that enters the market, and they don't lower the price too much. And the pharmacies, it takes a while for them to lower their prices down too. But if consumers ask for generics and then ask what's your best price on the generic, or again, shop at other pharmacies and then take it back to the pharmacy that you're used to and ask if they'll meet the price.
Our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is totn@npr.org. Let's begin with David, who's with us from High Point, North Carolina.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air, David.
How are you? I just listen to your show a lot, and this really rings home. I take Zoloft, Zoloft is $2.62 a pill in the United States. It is $1.30 approximately in Canada. And take a wild guess of how much this exact same Cetraline HCL costs in India.
I have no clue.
Oh, just take a wild guess. It's under $1.30.
By stating it that way, I'm taking it to mean it, you think it costs a lot less, or you know it costs a lot less.
Well, it's 8.5 cents a pill. Now, when you think about 8.5 cents a pill, that's basically equal to 1 month's worth of pills in the United States. The pharmaceutical industry in this country is absolutely raping the consumer. If India can produce it for 8.5 cents a pill, and they have a very viable and good pharmaceutical industry, and their product works just as well, if not better, in my opinion, than the stuff that I've gotten in the United States, or even the prescription from Canada. So, I mean, you know, just tell me what you think of that. Why is it that Americans have to pay through the nose when drugs that can either save lives or make people's lives more, fulfilling and happy, have to cost so much here? It's wrong. It's just plain downright greed.
David, when you were talking about the price for Zoloft in the U.S. and Canada, were you talking about a brand name Zoloft?
Yeah, the Zoloft in the United States, I think, is Eli Lilly, if my memory serves me. In Canada, it's a generic. And in India, it's a generic, too. It's Cetraline HCL.
Okay. Stephen Chandelmeyer, is Zoloft also generic in this country?
Zoloft is not generic in this country as of yet.
Okay. Go ahead. And then why the discrepancy, Stephen Chandelmeyer?
Well, again, in part, this is a question that the manufacturer can and should answer, but we have a system in America that provides patents and a period of time that a drug company has no competition for that chemical entity, and basically then they use their position as a monopolist in the market to set their price. I think we've chosen that to reward innovation, but I think we need to evaluate that policy to the degree that it affects access to the public.
David, I think what a manufacturer would say is, and I don't mean to speak for them, but I've read some research, and Stephen Schondelmeyer will correct me, I think, if I'm wrong, is that they invested a lot of money in the development of this drug, and if they hadn't invested that money, and they deserve to make a profit on it because they make a lot of other drugs that don't make any profit, and the Indian company wouldn't be able to make it if they hadn't made it in the first place.
Okay, but the divergence in price is so obscene. It just seems to be ridiculous. And then you can go, you can make the argument for medications for HIV. It's so prohibitive in this country, and a lot of people really must be dying because they can't afford the regimen, where India produces a lot of the same medication for HIV patients, and these are sent to Africa, and things are made more affordable. And if I read correctly somewhere, Bill Clinton has a foundation that helps HIV patients, and that foundation buys the pharmaceuticals from India because they're so much less expensive, and the results are quite frankly the same.
The issue of HIV drugs and Africa is an important one. We've discussed it many times in this program. We will again, but we're working on another subject today, David. But
no, I was only trying to parallel the cost of drugs. As you said, you know, you had said antidepressants cost so much here, they're less in Canada, and I just wanted to throw the fact that India is just so much less expensive to buy the same thing.
Not many listeners have the option to buy them from India. We're talking about the prices.
Absolutely correct.
We have to pay at retail outlets in this country today. Thanks very much for the call, David.
I wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. We're going to continue taking calls on this subject. Our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Our guest is Stephen Schondelmeyer. He's a professor of pharmaceutical economics at the University of Minnesota. And when we come back from a break, we're going to be speaking with the senior vice president of pharmacy operations at the National Association of Chain Drug Stores to find out more about why there are such big discrepancies in prices of generic drugs at pharmacies in this country today. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're discussing prescription drug pricing and how that can affect the overall cost of health care. Our guest is Stephen Schondelmeyer, professor of pharmaceutical economics at the University of Minnesota. How much are your prescription drugs costing you? Where do you shop? We're invited to join the discussion. Our phone number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is totn@npr.org. And we have an email question from David Clemo in Grand Rapids, Michigan. How do you go about getting prices to compare? He asks, most of us aren't on refillable prescriptions. We go through one order and are done. I would guess most of us aren't even sure what our physician has prescribed. Who can read it anyway? It's a pretty good, other than legibility, Stephen Schottelmeyer, what's the answer to his question?
Well, the legibility is an issue, but if one can read it, my experience is most any pharmacy that you can call will quote you a price over the phone. If you can read to them or spell out what the name of the drug is and the quantity ordered by your physician, they will quote you a price. And if the medication you're taking is one for a chronic condition, usually they are refillable for about 6 months in most cases. But if it's a one-time medicine, first of all, it may be much less value to price shop around just because it's only a one-time cost. But if it's one you expect to be expensive, even that, you could call a pharmacy and ask the price.
And anytime a doctor writes you a prescription, you can say, by the way, what is that in English?
Exactly. Make sure that you can read it and that the doctor explains not only how to pronounce the name, but what it's used for and what the problems might be with the medication.
Joining us now is Kurt Proctor. He's Senior Vice President of Pharmacy Operations for the National Association of Chain Drug Stores. He's with us from his office in Alexandria, Virginia. Good of you to be with us today.
Thank you, Neil. It's great to be here.
What's the pharmacy's role in drug pricing?
Pharmacy's role in drug pricing is to set a price for the consumer based on what their costs are of doing business, what the competitive nature of their location is, the services, putting a price on the time that a pharmacist spends with their patients, and what services they're offering, and setting a price for that for those consumers that are still paying a retail cash price.
Mm-hmm. And why is a discount chain like Costco able to charge so much less than a CVS, for example?
Well, I think different pharmacies do take different approaches to overall pricing, and Dr. Schottelmeyer did an excellent job of going through some of those different variables, that like things like hours and value and the cost of doing business at a location and relative competition and the convenience factors. Membership fees, of course, a couple of the retailers you mentioned have membership fees, and they have different approaches to pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as you compare across pharmacies, you may very well find differences on one product that go one way, and you may find prices on different products go the other way, where the other pharmacy may be less expensive or more expensive when they were in the opposite situation on another prescription. But overall, at the end of the day, most pharmacies end up with about a 2 to 3% net profit figure, so they're all kind of averaging out at the end.
Mm-hmm. Let's get another listener involved, and this is Lynn, who's with us from Delray Beach in Florida.
Hi there.
Hi.
I take Trusop because I have glaucoma, and I am a snowbird, so I spend part of the time in Florida and part up north in Westchester County.
In New York.
In New York. I go to a CVS because they're all over the place in Florida, and my Trusop cost $55. When I go back up north, and this happened recently, the same prescription was $79. So I went to my local pharmacy, and I asked if he would match the price of what it cost me in Florida, and he said yes. Now, why is there such a cost differential between a CVS in New York and one in Florida? I know you have a large elderly population in Florida. Consequently, they have a lot of glaucoma patients. But isn't there a central buying? I mean, why is it so disparate?
Kurt Proctor?
Well, again, I think the one thing to remember is that prescription drugs are not just a commodity that are simply bought and resold. They really are. It's the total package of service and convenience and location. The cost of doing business at the New York location may very well be much more expensive than doing business in Florida. The volume of business that they have in each location could be quite different. The hours that they keep, other things may be very different. But it's not just simply prescriptions are not simply a commodity that are just bought and resold like any other tube of toothpaste.
Well, if my local pharmacy was able to match the price, surely then CVS up north could have didn't have to increase the price by $27.
In the first place, yeah.
In the first place.
Yeah.
My local pharmacy has the same per square, you know, footage, realty costs, the same payments for...
As a former resident of the state of New York, Lynn, I'd venture to suggest that taxes are certainly higher in the state of New York.
Well, right. So therefore, if my local pharmacy can give it to me and match Florida, why can't the CVS up north reduce the price?
Well,
higher up north than it is down south.
Exactly. Kurt Proctor does not work specifically for CVS and probably can't come up with an answer for them. But if they're willing to match the price, I guess that's they're willing to compete at least with themselves.
Well, but my local pharmacy is the one that matched the price, not CVS up north.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Lynn. We appreciate it. And good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Mass marketers, Kurt Proctor, like Walmart and Target, have hurt some sectors of the retail industry, from toys to small mom-and-pop shops. Is the neighborhood drugstore also vulnerable?
Well, certainly. There's a lot of competition in the retail business and in the retail pharmacy business. That's what it does, keep prices in check, and it challenges each pharmacy to up their service levels. And make sure that they're offering the convenience and location and hours and accessibility to the pharmacist who's practicing in those pharmacies. It's a very competitive market out there. There's no doubt about that.
And if you have insurance, does it make a difference to shop around, do you think?
It doesn't make a difference in terms of shopping around on price, but I think you certainly want to shop around in terms of getting the quality of service that you're looking for. And that's really some of the great points that Dr. Schallenmayr made earlier. It's very important, whether you're price shopping or service shopping or what have you, that you find a pharmacy that you're comfortable with, that you get to know the pharmacist. Let them get to know you. Talk to the pharmacist about your medications. Any pricing questions you have, I would go directly and talk to the pharmacist about them. If you don't get satisfaction from that, then maybe that's not the pharmacy for you. You really want to prescription drugs are not to be taken lightly. You need the help and guidance of your local community pharmacist who is there to help protect you, to help make sure that you don't have drug interactions, to get to know you, to get to know the over-the-counter medication, herbals, vitamins, other things like that that can interact with medications, and really getting to know your pharmacist, finding one that's convenient, has the hours you want, and that's going to give you the care you need so that you can take medications correctly is what's of ultimate importance.
Thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Kurt Proctor, Senior Vice President of Pharmacy Operations for the National Association of Chain Drugstores, was with us from his office in Alexandria. And let's go now to Mike, who's with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for letting me get on today. I'm
sure.
A physician in Portland, Oregon, and you know, you don't have to go to other countries to find these price variations. This morning, I went and looked for Prilosec, which is the purple pill,
mm-hmm.
over the counter, and the price at Safeway, which is one of our local grocery stores that has a pharmacy in the building, was $10 for 14 days or $20 for a month. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That same prescription, if I would have written a prescription for a patient of mine, they would have filled it out, would have cost $110 for the prescription Prilosec, the exact same drug. The generic omeprazole, which is, again, the same drug, is $94. So the price variation was $110, $94, and $20 in the same building.
Wow.
And I did this morning, 6 hours ago.
That's extraordinary. In the same building?
Same building.
Different
location.
So does that depend, from the consumer's point of view, would that depend a lot on what their doctor told them?
Absolutely, and I mean, that's the point that I'm making. I think that the biggest benefit for consumers is to go see their doctor and access to a healthcare provider that can help weed out some of these issues. I mean, another example is the person who called in about the Zoloft. You know, if you're on 100 milligrams of Zoloft, cutting it in half cuts the cost in half. The pharmaceutical companies or the pharmacists will price it at around $75. You can cut it in half and it's $37.50. And it's just as effective in half dosing. It's the same with cholesterol drugs and other, you know, I can cite other examples, including blood pressure medications.
Stephen Schondelmeyer?
Yes, these are examples of ways consumers can save money. I'd point out that these differences are driven by manufacturer pricing policies and not by the retailers in general.
Mm-hmm.
But the retailer presents all three products in the same building.
Yes, they have them available because physicians in various circumstances write for the brand name and insist on the brand name. In other cases, they write for the Prilosec can allow use of the generic, and some, as you were suggesting, are wise enough to suggest that the OTC is going to work just as well and cost a lot less.
But it's the same drug from the same company.
Absolutely. I don't have a problem with that. I encourage that as well. But I'm telling you, it's available because pharmacies have people asking for and come in to buy all versions of that.
Mike, does this... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Stephen.
Yeah. Well, I think it is important for consumers to be aware, and physicians and pharmacists aware, when a drug does become available as an over-the-counter product, and look at the pricing. In some cases, the over-the-counter product has been priced at about the same as what the brand name prescription drug would cost. In other cases, like the Prilosec, it's priced much lower than what the prescribed drug would cost. But for a consumer, they may, sitting in the doctor's office, if you tell them, well, go use the over-the-counter drug, it's only $20 a month, the patient may say, but my copay is only $10 if you prescribe it. Will you write me a prescription? Mm-hmm. So to the consumer out of pocket, the prescribed drug may be cheaper. Now, I don't think that's wise use of our resources in the healthcare system, but the consumer may view it as still cheaper paying a $10 copay for that prescribed drug.
And, Mike, in a world where we tend to have fewer and fewer minutes with our doctors all the time, but nevertheless, what you're suggesting is that the doctor ought to be maybe get a little training in consumer economics and help their patients along that way, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not uncommon that I take somebody who has a monthly, you know, drug bill of $600 and figure out how to whittle it down to $150 a month on the same medications, as effective. I bring up preventative measures. I mean, there's people that are on Prilosec that if they did some preventative things, including the way that they eat, they're exercising, you know, avoiding certain types of foods, wouldn't even need the drug in the first place.
Thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go now to John, and John's with us from Grants Pass in Oregon.
Hi, thanks. Love your program. People have to check with their pharmacist about the volume of pills they're buying. You can make a huge per-pill difference if you buy 25 as opposed to buying 100 or 200.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Costco pharmacies are a federally licensed business, so you can't be kept away from them just because of Costco's membership policy. You can say, I'm coming to the pharmacy, and they have to let you in to go to the pharmacy.
Ah, so you don't need the membership at Sam's Club or Costco or anything like that.
There you go.
Okay.
Love your program.
Thank you very much, John. Is that accurate, Stephen Schottelmeyer?
Actually, pharmacies are licensed by each state government, not by the federal government. I'm not sure if those sites waive the membership fee to allow you to come in to use the pharmacy. I would have to check that out, but they're licensed by state governments, and I'm not sure that they require that they have open access. That's something we could check out, but I don't know the answer.
And it might vary state to state, so again, a phone call in advance might be worth your while. We're talking with Stephen Schottelmeyer about the variances in the prices of prescription drugs. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. For those who have insurance, PBMs play a big role to determine prescription drug prices in your insurance plan. Mark Merritt is president of Pharmaceutical Care Management Association, which represents PBMs, pharmacy benefit managers, and he joins us from his office here in Washington. It's good of you to be with us today.
Good to be with you, Neil.
How does the PBM system work?
Well, what PBMs do is they work on volume, and they work with state and federal governments, private employers, unions, to aggregate the enormous purchasing power of 200 million Americans combined in our industry, to negotiate with the big drug companies, with the big chain drug stores, to get lower prices. And what we say is, hey, look, you know, the companies who work with us, the employers who work with us, the unions who work with us have a lot of people in them. And if you want your drug to be on the formulary, if it's the same as other drugs that are just as good for other people, and if you want your drug store to be in our network where they go, you ought to give big discounts to these folks to make it worth your while and their while. And so it's a great way that the free market jumps in to make prices more affordable for consumers and to bring down the ever-spiraling drug trend in terms of price increases that we've seen over the last decade.
Does it pay to shop around if you do have insurance?
Well, if you're paying a copay, it doesn't make much difference. If you're under coinsurance, which not many people are, in which you'll pay a percentage of the overall drug price, yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, what you really need to do is make sure that you have the right pharmacy for you. And that's particularly true if you're somebody with a chronic illness. In other words, somebody who needs to take drugs for the rest of their life, basically. People who have asthma, diabetics, people with HIV, AIDS, a whole host of diseases, high blood pressure. Those drugs, you should be able to have the mail order option, in which you can get these mailed to your house on a regular basis. You don't have to make the trip to the pharmacy, and you can save an enormous amount of money by doing that. So depending on what your pharmaceutical needs are, it's very important to make sure you're getting your medicines in the right way.
Do PBMs have a role in deciding, you know, do generics or brand names?
Well, obviously, we move a lot of people to generic drugs if they're the same as brand names, because it enables consumers and the employers they work for to save money. But it really depends. We have something that are called pharmacy and therapeutics committees at all of the PBMs in America, which are independent and which decide first and foremost what are the best medicines in each class. And there, from there on, then you look at the price, you look and see which ones are overpriced, which ones are underpriced, and you bargain with the big drug companies and with the retail drugstore chains, and you say, look, give us the best discounts you can get, and then consumers will have a real option and something that's more affordable to them.
Okay. Mark Merritt, thanks very much.
Sure. Thank you.
Mark Merritt, president of the Pharmaceutical Care Management Association, which represents pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs, and he was with us from his office in Washington. And let's get another caller in, and Marguerite is on the line with us from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
I just had an interesting thing. I didn't realize there was a variation in pharmacies. We're self-employed, so we don't have the benefits to cover to cover drugs. And while I was listening to you, I gave a quick call to Sam's Club, and my daughter's on Strattera, which is 105 at my local pharmacy, and they offer it for 84 at Sam's without needing a Sam's Club card. So
that's a pretty significant savings if she's on it.
Yep, it was really, I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, I'm glad we helped at least one consumer.
You definitely did, yep.
Thanks very much, Marguerite. Good luck to you and your daughter.
Okay.
And we're going to have to leave it there. Stephen Schondelmeyer, we thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
Stephen Schondelmeyer is professor of pharmaceutical economics at the University of Minnesota. He joined us from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio in St. Paul, Minnesota. When we come back from the break, we'll talk with one of the NASA scientists who's helping the Mars rover teams adjust their internal clocks to an out-of-this-world schedule. If you're an astronomer or a scientist who's ever had to live on Martian time or some other alien schedule, give us a call. The number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.